Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. You know what that means. We got Vinny Bonsignor on the show today. Super excited about that. We'll get to that interview in a little bit. But first, get all the good stuff out of the way. If you guys aren't aware, me and James's newest Rams Podcast dropped today. So check it out. Rams Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And while we're hitting social media, don't forget to follow us at Locked On Rams, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook group. I figured it out and I've unlocked the magical Facebook group. So we've stockpiled some people in the last couple days. If you're on Facebook, come find us. Just type in Locked On Rams, give us a follow, add to the group. Pretty simple stuff here. I've got some really cool giveaways coming up, so get involved now so you can be one of the first to hear about what we're doing. Got some awesome sponsorships coming up over the next couple weeks, so I'm excited to get some of that stuff to you guys. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We are growing at a rapid pace, so continue to share it with everybody, guys. We've got an amazing lineup Monday through Friday. The only daily Rams podcast you'll find out there. I'm proud to say that. And it's hosted here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Monday, we got James Kroger. Tuesday, it's you, the listener, with questions, comments, and big ups from myself, Bear. Wednesday, we have an amazing crossover series with our matchup for the week. Thursday, aka today, Vinny Bonsignor. And Friday, the hype edition with Serena Morales. Amazing lineup from beginning to end. Awesome guests, awesome Rams news, information, and updates. As we look ahead, Monday's edition is going to be pretty interesting. Hopefully another victory Monday. But again, I've got a crazy weekend. I'm flying back to Chicago, driving 3 hours up to Michigan for a wedding. So I'll be checking my phone discreetly on the side during the game. Hopefully the wedding's a little bit later in the day, so I'll get to see some of that action. But most likely, it's going to be James Kroger bringing it home by himself. If not, we're going to just jump in to a Victory Tuesday episode. We'll figure it out. I'm going to try to get as much content to you guys as possible, but just wanted to give you a heads up what is coming around the corner. Also, don't forget to kind of dibble and dabble around the network. Check out some of the other shows. Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson is an amazing podcast. He has awesome guests throughout the week, just like we do, covering all the NFL's hottest topics. So go check them out. And then Locked On Fantasy Football, Vinny Lyer, and that group, again, they'll walk you through start and sit, waiver wire pickups, and all the fantasy information that you need throughout the week to be competitive in your league. Well, I don't got a whole lot for you before we just kick right into it. I had a great conversation with Vinny Bonsignor, NFL and LA Rams reporter for The Athletic. Again, check it out, guys. If you need a promo code, shoot me a message. I think it's like a $3 subscription for either the month or the year. Either way, it's a great deal. And not only do you get Vinny's content here in LA, but you get Lakers stuff, you get anything really in the LA market, and then across the country, they've got exclusive content that you get access to, and I highly recommend it. I have a subscription, and I really love it, so check it out. But with all that good stuff out of the way, let's just jump over and hear the conversation I had earlier today with Vinny Bonsignor. We'll be back tomorrow with Serena Morales on our Friday Hype Edition, but until then, listen in on this conversation and have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Here's my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. And you know what that means. We've got Vinny Bonsignor, NFL and LA Rams reporter for The Athletic joining us. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. The Rams survived, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Talk about a heart-wrenching game. The funny stories I've talked about all week is I was at Disneyland. My family came in, and I looked at the schedule, and I was like, oh, up in Seattle, we'll smash them. I'll be fine. And there I was, glued to my phone the last, 5 minutes and had people texting me. And I was with my stepdad, who's a Seahawks fan, so I was getting it from all angles. Oh. But we pulled it out, and it was a little more dramatic than, maybe we thought it was going to be. But a win's a win, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And it was actually a really they were proud. That was a proud team afterwards. You know, they were talking all week that a division rival, especially one as well coached, typically as the Seahawks are under Pete Carroll and his staff, in their stadium, which is, for anyone that hasn't been there, extremely loud and extremely passionate. And they were a desperate team. So, the Rams were expecting the best punch possible from the Seahawks. They certainly got it, especially early on. They weathered the storm, literally, and, second half, fourth quarter, they showed up defensively and were able to give the offense just enough room to squeak out the win.
Just enough, and that's all it took. And while we're kind of on this, before we move forward, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that fourth down call and, you know, kind of your description of what you thought it was and what you meant moving. What do you think it means moving forward?
Well, you know, I give Sean McVay a lot of credit. Initially, he was going to punt the ball. You know, they had some time to play with, and they were going to burn as much of it as possible to give the Seahawks as little time possible to drive for a potential game-winning field goal. And that forced, you know, Pete Carroll's hand. He had to call a timeout in order to preserve as much time as possible for his offense, thinking, you know, not even thinking that, you know, by calling this timeout, I'm going to give Sean McVay a little bit more time to think about this, and more importantly, or just as importantly, give his team and his players and the coaching staff a little bit more time to sway Sean into, hey, let's just go for this. And that timeout proved to be, I thought, you know, such an underrated key to that whole situation. And Sean looked in the eyes of his players and they showed the confidence that they wanted to go ahead and close it out right then and right there. And he trusted him and believed in him and did something that was pretty unconventional. He went for it on fourth down on their side, the other team's side of the field, you know, leading by just 2 points. A field goal wins it for the other team. So a lot of guts, a lot of what we have been talking about a lot with these Rams. It's a collaborative effort, and the players have input in this effort and in this process, and that was never more apparent than right there.
Yeah, and it kind of, I talked about this all week, but it brings me back to a press conference after we actually had Greg the Leg get injured, and we had to go for two a bunch in that game, and he was asked by one of you guys in the media about, is that going to build some confidence in him later on in the season for fourth and short yardage and things like that? Will he become a little bit more comfortable going for it in those situations? And, you know, he responded, yeah, I think it will. And this was a dynamite case of, you know, potentially that coming into play, whereas, you know, you mentioned kind of the players in his ears, and Whitworth talked about how the offensive line just kind of kept moving towards the field during that timeout. And,
yeah,
you know, next thing you know, they get to go for it. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, throughout this season, early games in the season continue to play factor in later games in the season. I think this is another example of maybe later on the season we'll see, you know, Sean kind of pull the trigger on another one of these, you know, decisions where this point will prove to make a factor in later in the year. So it was definitely fun to watch. It was a great way to finish the game. I love it. He talked about if you punt it, there's so many more variables, right? You have so many more plays that are going to happen and so many other things can happen. And if you're a 5-0, 4-0 team at that point and you're trying to be dominant in the league, in the division, go get 6 inches. And I love them for doing that. And they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did make a point of that. You know, and they do talk all the time, you know, when it gets right down to it and you need to make the play, make the damn play. And he had a chance to make the play right there. And that play was making that call and telling, you know, you're the best offensive line in the NFL and a 6'5" quarterback who's every bit that 6'5". I think you're going to be able to get it. I mean, it was 6 inches, you know, maybe a foot or so, but I think that the distance obviously played a role in it. You should be able to get that. You should be able to quarterback sneak it with a big, tall quarterback like Jared is in that offensive line and be able to get it. And they did. And, you know, they moved to 5-0. They did it in a tough, tough environment against, like I said, a desperate team that had to win. The Seahawks had to win that game. And to me, that's a team that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they get it together a little bit and maybe make a run at a wild card. You know, Russell Wilson looked good. They've got their running game in order now. They were giving the Rams fits. You know, they had 171 yards a week before against the Cardinals and then another 190 or so against the Rams. And They were physical up front. I think that that's a better Seahawks team than we were given it credit for.
Yeah, and I think the Seahawks are kind of notorious for starting a little slow in the season and then really picking up. The last couple years, they had some slow starts and then made a push for the playoffs. And it's one of those teams that you don't want to see in the playoffs, regardless of their record, because they've got so much experience and, you know, they've got some good coaching up there as well. But as we talk about some of the positives that came out of that game, I do want to talk to you and get your opinion on some of the negatives that came out of this game, right? Our defense gave up tons of yards on the ground. Marcus Peters was beat over the top plenty of times. Is Marcus Peters a concern moving forward? I mean, is he still banged up? And what's a bigger liability right now, the run D or the pass D?
Well, they gave up a lot of yards rushing. I think part of that is the respect that you give. Number one, their offensive line is just better than it was last year, and they're kind of coming into their own. They're much more physical and tenacious this year compared to last year. But I think that, you know, I was talking to Michael Brockers about this. It's tough to play Russell Wilson, and it's not a cliche. It's the truth of the matter. He could beat you in so many different ways, and he's one of those guys, if you go too hard directly at him, he can make you pay because he's so elusive and so athletic and so strong, really. He's a well put together quarterback. He's not built like your typical quarterback. He's tough and athletic. And it's more a case of, like Michael explained, you build a box around him than collapse that box. But you have to make sure that he doesn't get outside that box. And that's sometimes what happens when you rush tenaciously after him, directly at him, because that gives him a chance then to make plays with his feet. If you don't have that containment on the edges, that's how he makes his plays.
Right.
And I think that came into play as well in the run game, because most of, at least to my knowledge, most of the yards that they were getting were off, not necessarily play action, but it was off, you know, him doing that move where he's sticking the ball into a gut of a running back, and whether he pulls it out and throws it or pulls it out and run it or leaves it in the hands of the running back, you're flowing in that direction. And then all of a sudden, if it stays a handoff, that running back cuts against that pressure, and all of a sudden he's running by guys. So it's
right.
Just a tough, tough dynamic to deal with. And they didn't do a good job of it early on. They weren't as disciplined as they needed to be. And I think that's, you know, what hurt them in the run game. In the pass game, I don't think Marcus is healthy. I just don't think that he's healthy. That's not an excuse. He's out there. He should be performing. We know how that all goes. If you can suit up, you can play. But, you know, there has to be a little bit of nuance in this type of thing. And he looks like a guy that's trying to do what he can do normally when he's got his full strength and full health and full athletic ability. But right now it's like the mind wants to do one thing, the body is not necessarily going along with it, and so he has to kind of work through that right now and figure out a way to compensate until he is healthy. I think that, you know, before it's all said and done, he'll be back and he'll be, you know, the Marcus Peters that we all know. But right now, he's got to figure out kind of a different way to get to do it. And the Rams are going to have to maybe put up with some of what we've seen until he gets completely healthy. Now, he did make some pretty good plays down the stretch, so that was a good sign. But I think over the course of a full game, if he's not healthy right now, that's going to show up from time to time.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. I think that's exactly it. His health is just not fully there, but he's a tough guy. He's going to go out there compete. But you can really tell in his secondary speed, and he's a risk taker. So those two don't really go hand in hand. You take the risk, and you need to be able to catch up. He just hasn't been able to kind of hit that, you know, third and fourth gear that we're usually used to
exactly.
seeing from him. So hopefully over time, I know, you know, these games take a toll on your body, and it's really tough to get to 100% when you keep playing and you keep going down a little bit. But hopefully week by week, he'll continue to get better. But, you know, I think we're both in agreements here that, you know, kind of a 80% Marcus Peters is really better than a lot of 100% other people. So we got to take our ups with our downs, because that's kind of what made him a great player in this league, is that risk-taking, is that kind of that, you know, putting himself out there in a position to make a play. And sometimes it's not going to happen for him. But I saw a lot of people get pretty upset with him instantly before halftime. You know, we saw a lot of tweets about Marcus Peters, but I think everyone just got to pump the brakes a little bit and let him fall back into, you know, what we know he can do. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break really quick. We're going to step aside, get some word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more with Vinny Bonsignore on the other side. All right, guys, before we move on to our next segment, I want to talk to you about ShadyRays.com. You know by now that this is legit. Bear stamp of approval. Love this company. Love their sunglasses. I've got two myself, the classic black and the wood grain. Best sunglasses on the market, and I'll tell you why. One, great price point. $45 to $70. Polarized sunglasses with a clear image. And the best warranty on the market. Yes, I will stand behind that. I have not seen any other sunglass company with this type of deal. And you get even a better deal here on the Locked On Podcast Network, especially with Locked On Rams. They're giving you a buy one, get one, or 50% off two or more pairs on ShadyRays.com. So basically, you're getting two pairs of sunglasses for $45, and I'll get back to the best deal in sunglasses, and it starts here. If you break your glasses or you lose your glasses, so you go on a camping trip, boom, gone, can't find them. Don't panic, don't freak out. Just call up Shady Rays, pay the shipping and handling, which is like $3 or $4, and they're gonna send you a brand new pair. Get out of town. There's no other deal like this on the market. ShadyRays.com, they got your back. Promo code locked on, 50% off two or more sunglasses. Find a buddy, go in on it, $45. You each get a pair of sunglasses. What, you're spending $22.50 on a pair of sunglasses that will last for life. No joke, for life, because if you break them or you lose them, they're going to send you a new pair for free. All you got to do is pay the shipping and handling. I got to say that's one of the best, if not the best deal we've had on Locked On Rams podcast so far. So, bear stamp of approval. If you guys haven't gotten your pair, come on, man. That's a great deal. I got two pairs myself, and I couldn't be happier. ShadyRays.com, promo code Locked On. All right, we are back. This is the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. We got Vinny Bonsignor with us, LA Rams reporter for The Athletic. Guys, if you haven't checked it out, go get an Athletic subscription. There's great deals all the time. If you need a promo code, shoot me a message. I'll get you one. As well as follow him on Twitter. It's at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. Puts up amazing stuff, always sharing his articles, interacts with everybody. So go check him out there as well. Vinny, as we kind of flip the script here, we're talking about defense and some of that struggles on the other side of the break. One thing we're not struggling with is Jared Goff throwing the ball. Right now, he's number one in the NFL as far as passing yards go. Surefire top five quarterback right now. He's probably in top five, top three potentially as far as early MVP candidates. Right now, he's on the pace to break the all-time season high as far as passing yards. I know we've got a lot of football left. Was it crazy to think that that could actually happen?
No, not really. I mean, this offense is so predicated on big chunks of yards in the pass game, and a lot of it is on that underneath stuff. You know, they run long patterns around wide receivers, but there's always that one guy that's kind of open right there in the shallow area. But those shallow areas are still going for 18, 20, 25 yards. At a pop, and even on screen plays, you put the ball in Todd Gurley's hands on a screen. He's gonna, if it's open and if the play is working and the blocking, was what it should be. I mean, that's another 16, 17, 18 yard game. So they're able to pick up these big yards, from a play to play. It's not just bombs. It's not just 60 yard throws. It's these 28, 30, 33, 14, 17 yeah. yard gains that they're consistently picking up, and you add that all up, and all of a sudden, he's got close to 400 yards passing, 350 yards passing every single game. So I don't see that, falling off at all. In fact, I think it could actually get a little bit better. But yeah, I can see him doing that if he stays healthy and they keep on this kind of a pace. He could absolutely break that record.
I think another thing that really was kind of an eye-opener for me as well is when he lost his, two of the top three of his receivers, and he didn't really fall off too much. We brought in Reynolds came in and Kadarius Hodge stepped in, and, maybe a little bit drop-off in production, but Goff was able to still find those receivers and make plays down the field, without his number one and two targets, which I think is extremely impressive because it kind of shows to the fact of how good of a quarterback he is and how great coach this team is, that no matter who gets in there, we saw it even, you know, a few weeks back when both Tlaib and Peters came out of the game and we had to put backups. We've lost our one and two guys on the defense and offense side of the ball, won both games. So that's a great takeaway. And it's also kind of a tip of the cap to Jared Goff for just continuing to just be a great quarterback no matter who's in there. And you see guys like Brady, you know, in that conversation where you look back and, yeah, he had maybe Randy Moss at a time and he's had some high-time or big-time receivers, but then he's had a bunch of, you know, who is that? And he's, you know, getting all the yards. So another great thing that I saw from that game that was really encouraging. This is actually a question from Eric Gomez, one of our listeners. He asked me this earlier in the week, but I thought I'd save it for you as we're kind of talking about Goff and some of these young players on our team here that we've had for a few years. He was asking, because he read a couple things that some people out there, and I don't know who, because this definitely wouldn't be coming from me, but he brought up the old name of Jeff Fisher, and he was basically saying some people out there are saying that Jeff Fisher deserves some credit for this team as far as their success because he drafted some of these players. And I want to get your thoughts on, you know, is there any credit due to Jeff Fisher, or is this whole system that's going on is so McVay and so the McVay era that, you know, we can really just put to bed Jeff Fisher and what he did for the Rams?
You have to give credit where credit is due. He did draft Jared Goff. He did draft Todd Gurley. As far as the offensive line, Havenstein, you know, Roger Saffold, you know, you look defensively, obviously Michael Brockers and you know, Aaron, I'm trying to think of who else, LaMarcus Joyner, you know, Aaron Donald and LaMarcus Joyner, some of the cornerbacks. So yeah, I mean, he was around when some of these players were accumulated. You have to also give credit to Les Snead and his staff because he was ultimately responsible, or at least 50-50 on the draft. So, you know, Jeff Fisher definitely had a say in personnel and drafting. So yeah, he deserves some credit, but that only goes so far, you know. You have to then coach them up, you know, and so I think that in the whole scheme of things, especially offensively, I mean, Sean McVay has come in here and you know, put these pieces to use. And going back real quick to Jared Goff, that's why I've always disputed, you know, the talk of him being a system quarterback. He makes players look good. Nobody was, you know, mentioning Robert Woods as a top wide receiver before he came to the Rams a couple of years ago. And,
right.
And you look at Jared Goff, what he's done with him, how he didn't blink, like you said, when Josh Reynolds, who's, by the way, a really good wide receiver, and Hodge comes in and you know, he makes a throw to him. He doesn't show any hesitancy to utilize these guys. I think you have to give credit to Jared Goff for how these wide receivers, you know, are looking. It's definitely things go hand in hand. You have to have talent from the wide receiver position as well. But Robert Woods did. He was just playing with bad quarterbacks in Buffalo. You put him with a good quarterback and all of a sudden he becomes a good wide receiver. So I guess that argument could go around and around and around and around, but the point is you have a quarterback who I think makes players maximizes wide receivers' talents by being such a good quarterback, putting the ball where it needs to be and having the confidence to throw to him whoever's on the field. And he does a really, really good job of that. And I'm not so surprised with Josh, you know, Reynolds. I think he's a good player that could start on some other teams in the NFL. You know, Hodge obviously showed during the preseason that he was a decent prospect, a good prospect, and, you know, good enough to make the practice squad and get called up to the varsity when they needed him. But, you know, for Jared not to blink when his two best wide receivers or two of his best wide receivers went out and continued to be aggressive, says a lot about him, and it says a lot about the confidence that he has in those two young wide receivers that came in.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Robert Woods because, man, not only did he have a great game last game and really stepping up when those two wide receivers came down, and he tore off a big run on kind of that jet sweep and then had a bunch of catches in big-time moments. But you're right, kind of coming over from Buffalo, it was one of those under-the-radar signings that year as we got Whitworth and Sullivan and, you know, we drafted Cooper Kupp, and, you know, there's a lot of excitement, and, you know, he's turned out to be probably one of the best signings, you know, along with Andrew Whitworth of that year, and has done nothing but amazing things. And I saw something from Pro Football Focus showing his career stats, and these last 2 years have just skyrocketed. And you talked about being in, you know, a good system and having a great quarterback finally, and this year has even taken a bigger jump. You didn't know that he could even get better from last year, where he was just a few yards short of 1,000 yards, but it looks like, man, you know, Rams wide receivers, if they can stay healthy, you know, we may have three wide receivers over 1,000 yards the way Jared Goff is throwing. So it's crazy how fast times can turn, not only for Jared Goff, but, you know, likes of Robert Woods and others. So really exciting stuff. I want to ask one more question on this side of the break, and this is kind of a little switch up here, but there was some news that came out the other day that the Rams were flexed out of the Sunday night football game against the 49ers. I'm pretty sure we can all thank the 49ers and, unfortunately, Jimmy Garoppolo's injury for the NFL, really looking at that game and going like, eh, we've probably got some better games that week. But any news on, you know, what we can expect as maybe getting another one later in the season, or is it just kind of like, take it, you know, NFL's the big boss and just you have to do what you do?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously for the reasons that you stated, the 49ers are just not holding up their end of the bargain right now. A lot of that has to do with the injury to Jimmy G and some other injuries. But, you know, I think that in the long run, those decisions, I think, are while, you know, I'm sure sucks for Rams fans and fans around the country who wanted to see Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and all those guys on a primetime game. But in the long run, I think it's always best to put the best games if you have that chance to put the best games so that more people can see them. So that's a good policy. But as far as can I see the Rams game getting changed or flexed out to a later game, you know, a Sunday night primetime slot. And I'm looking at the Rams Saints game. What is that? November 2nd.
Yep.
You know, that might be a possibility. I think that the Rams Bears game, December 7th, I think it is, or 9th, somewhere around there. That could be a possibility, depending on where the Bears are at that point. But you know, they're playing pretty well right now, so that could be a game. So yeah, I think there's a possibility down the road that that they'll replace them. To me, the Rams are a hot ticket, not just locally but nationally. I think they have a lot of star power. So I think the NFL is definitely going to keep an eye on that. And if there's an opportunity and a good game matchup comes up, I don't think they'd hesitate to make that switch.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's crazy. We talked about how fast things have turned around. And that's another one. I mean, we went from a couple years ago, I think, having maybe one nationally televised game. And I think it was a Thursday night game. And now here we are. It's funny, you start to get a little greedy. You know, you want your six nationally televised games and one's taken away. And you're like, wait a minute. And you look back and you're like, wait, we got five still. We've got, you know, Monday night football game coming up and a bunch of other awesome matchups. So, yeah, but I do expect, kind of like you said, too, is that we will get one of those late ones. You mentioned two really great games that, depending on how the other teams go, could end up being, you know, first place versus first place in their respective divisions. So it'll be definitely something to watch, and I think we'll be taken care of in the long run. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside real quick. We're going to get another word from some sponsors. We'll be right back with more with Vinny Bonsignor. All right, guys, before we move on to our next segment, I want to talk to you about swap.com. That is SWAP.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for brand new clothes? Come on, get out of here. Why do we keep buying new clothes for our kids just to have them outgrow them and throw them away a few months later? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's called swap.com, S-W-A-P.com. It is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store after store, sifting through racks and racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with its easy-to-use filters to find exactly what you need. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail of your favorite brands like Lululemon, Nike, J.Crew, Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit you, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Guys, this is an awesome place to go get some great, great deals on some clothing. There's a special offer just for the Lockdown listeners. You get 35% off selective items with your first order using the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day at swap.com's homepage. Again, that's SWAP.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get 35% off selected items. Again, swap.com is the largest online consignment and thrift store, and I guarantee you they won't let you down. Check it out, swap.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 35% off. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. This is our final segment, Thursday edition. We're excited. We got Vinny Bonsignor with us again from The Athletic, LA, LA Rams reporter. Guys, check him out, not only on The Athletic, but on Twitter. And he is at Vinny Bonsignor. Got a couple more questions for you. We talked about, you know, the flex schedule and, you know, some of those games late in the year. One's the Chicago game you mentioned, which is going to be in December, and if we're flexing it tonight, it's going to be even colder. But looking ahead to this week, you know, weather temperatures are supposed to be around the low 30s and potential snow. I know we just dealt with some weather up in Seattle. It wasn't too warm up there. But how, as a coach, do you prepare a team for potential weather like that? And then obviously in Denver, you got to deal with the altitude. Is it just kind of a mental thing, or how do you get a team ready for that?
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, when you're a California-based team, Southern California-based team, there's no way to replicate that.
Right.
You know, you could do the noise, which they did last week during practice. I suspect they'll do the same. It gets loud in Denver, obviously. But as far as the weather, there's nothing you can do. Maybe go up to Bear Mountain or something like that and practice up there with the altitude. But, you know, I'm being facetious, but that's about it. I mean, where can you go to replicate any of that? You can't. So you're just going to have to deal with it. I do think, though, that this is, you know, I'm kind of hoping for the Rams' sake and that it is going to be a cold atmosphere, because to me, that'll only be beneficial. Number one, I want to see them respond to that. I want to see this offense in those type of elements to see how it holds up. You know, and if you're thinking long haul, there's a chance. I mean, that Chicago game could be a huge game for a lot of different reasons, and they're going to need to go on the road, whether it's that, you know, that game or down the road in the playoffs. If they don't have home field advantage, you're going to have to win a game in some dicey elements. So, you know, it's probably a good thing for an early season type of a test to have the weather gods throw you a curveball here this early in the season and have it be, you know, really unpleasant, as it looks like it might be, and see how you respond to it. And I'm interested to see how the offense is going to hold up in those kind of conditions.
Yeah, very good points, and you're right. And it's nice, like we talked about kind of before that, was the Seahawk game. I think it was like 48 degrees. Now we'll kind of work into the, you know, 35 degrees and slowly kind of get us there, getting used to playing in that weather. But you're right. I mean, all these things, you know, come into play as you have to go, you know, over to the Midwest in December and hopefully get you ready. And just another thing that Sean McVay can kind of preach as far as, you know, being your best when their best is needed and being prepared and all
right.
Those Sean McVay-isms that we love. I'm sure he's got a handful ready for this week as well. As we look at that game matching up against the Broncos, they've lost three straight. The Rams under Sean McVay have won 10 of 11 games on the road. That is kind of mind-blowing to think that he is 10-1 on the road as a coach in, you know, coming from his rookie year till now. How likely is that can continue? I know we're facing Case Keenum, but talk to me about some of the struggles, because I think us in Rams Nation, sometimes we look at these matchups, we look at the stats, and we're going, oh man, we should win this game again. But talk to us about some of the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the schedule first comes out, you're thinking Denver Broncos, you know, Mile High Stadium, you know, Case Keenum, a gamer at quarterback, you know, the players that they have defensively, and you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a good test, and it still might be, but something's wrong with the Denver Broncos. I don't think there's a whole lot of confidence in the second year head coach. You know, Case Keenum isn't playing well. Defensively, they've been a sieve, you know, the last few weeks. It kind of plays all into the hands. They don't have, I don't know necessarily about their running game. You know, as opposed to a week ago, I know that the you know, the Seahawks beat, you know, the Cardinals, and it wasn't a big win or anything like that, but they got their running game going in a way that Pete Carroll likes to get his running game going, and everything gets played off of that. And I felt like, you know, they're kind of hitting where they want to be right there offensively. And so, you know, that was a little bit different. This I thought that because of that, they were going to present the Rams a little bit of challenge, you know, especially on the road. But I just don't see it with the Broncos. I mean, they're going to have to make a complete turnaround from where they've been the last couple of weeks. And I'm not sure they're capable of doing that. So if the Rams, again, you know, take care of the ball and just do their thing, I think they should win pretty easily. And I'm looking for, you know, maybe their defense to get a little bit more on solid ground, especially early. You know, we talk about the points, but one good thing is of those 62 points that they've given up the last couple of games, only three were in the fourth quarter. They've only given up 6 points in the fourth quarter all season. No, and no opponent has actually crossed the goal line against them in the fourth quarter. So somehow, some way, and this is kind of a trait of Wade Phillips, they may be, you know, treading in mud a little bit for, you know, to start a game, but for whatever reason, he knows how to you know, make the adjustments and put them in a better position in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter. But I think that it's going to turn around a little bit and it's going to happen earlier in this game based on the Broncos. So I can't see any way the Rams lose this game other than they just completely stubbed their toe, and I don't see that happening. So I think they got a pretty good chance this week to win this football game.
Yeah, you talked about that defense in the fourth quarter, and it's amazing. I mean, I guess if you're a defense and you get to pick one quarter to be amazing in, fourth quarter is a pretty good one to pick. But it is pretty incredible that they can really just – I mean, it's like in baseball, it's bringing in the closer, and, you know, it's letting Sue and Donald go after the quarterback because we know they're in a passing situation. And, you know, we saw, I think, two pass deflects in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks, so – even our cornerbacks were stepping it up. So good things at least are happening in the fourth. And you're right. I really hope we can kind of get our footing early in this game and kind of rebuild some confidence in that defense and kind of in their own right to know that they can do it throughout four quarters and not just have to wait. The nice thing is we've got one of the most exciting offenses on the other side. So all we need them to do is really get a few stops throughout the game and we're going to outscore you. I mean, that's kind of how it's been all year. And we hope that that can continue, but there might be a game where, you know, Jared Goff has an off day and we're going to need our defense to win it. So games like this on the road where we can kind of come back and make a statement would be big. You talked about you feel good about us winning. We did this last week. We do it every week. We both were wrong last week as far as on the spread. We thought we would handle it. But the spread, again, the Rams are favored by about 6.5, 7 points, depending on what site you look on. We're on mybookie.ag. Thoughts about the spread, 6.5?
I like it. I like it from the Rams' point of view, and this time I mean it. I know last week, you know, we were a little bit off on that. Credit to the Seahawks for that, though. I thought they came in with a really good game plan, and you know, I know that Rams fans don't necessarily like Pete Carroll. Probably the UCLA contingency of the of Rams fans. We know how USC fans feel about him. I think he's a fabulous coach. I think it's only a matter of time before he gets them back in order. And I wouldn't, like I said, be surprised if they make a little run at the wild card this year based on what I saw on Sunday. But this week, I don't have the same confidence in the Denver Broncos coaching staff. I think that's a fragile situation right now, and probably going to get worse before it gets better. I don't like the way Case Keenum has been playing. I just don't see the support system that he needs. And defensively, they're not playing well, and that plays right into the Rams' hands. So, yeah, I think the Rams cover the spread today, this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree on that. I think it's just a different matchup. You talked about all the great things the Seahawks have going up there as far as division opponent, a very desperate needing team. And honestly, I'm sure the Denver Broncos are pretty desperate for a win at this point,
right,
too. But, you talked about it last week. They gave up 300 yards on the ground. We've got Todd Gurley coming in one of the most prolific offenses. They gave up, you know, 100-something yards to Anderson over the air. He had 2 touchdowns. So, you know, we've got 3 guys that can go out there and make it happen. It sounds like both those guys are going to play. Is that correct? I know you haven't had the practice today, but we're pretty sure that Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks are playing, correct?
Well, based on the early reports this week, it's looking good. But obviously, they got to check off all the boxes, you know, in the concussion protocol. You know, Sean was speaking hopefully about it on Monday, and usually that's a pretty good sign.
And then I guess one last injury question, because we did see Santos miss an extra point that was pretty critical. He came back and hit the game-winning field goal, which was huge and really, I think, saved his life a little bit there, especially from the fans' perspective and inside that organization. But are we still a week away or maybe more from seeing Greg Zuerlein?
Well, we'll get an update, this week. I don't expect him to play on Sunday, and I think that that's probably, you know, considering the conditions, I think it's probably better to hold him off from this game. It's a leg injury, it's a muscle injury.
Right.
It's going to be cold, it's going to be blustery, so probably better off to hold him out. And then we'll see. They play in San Francisco or Santa Clara the following week. That might be, if he's good, that might be the date to circle. But obviously, day to day, as they say. And we'll get the update later this week and next week. But they need him. They definitely need Greg back, and they need him back healthy. You know, they need him back so
right.
He's not going to, you know, come back 1 week and then be lost for another 3 weeks. And I think that that's the prudent thing to do, is just ride it out as long as they possibly can to get him as healthy as possible so that he's here for the long haul.
You got to love the day-to-day status. It's basically like almost like we're going to tell you when we're going to tell you, okay? Quit asking. He's day-to-day. You'll find
right.
out. Yeah, we'll find out.
And to be honest, I mean, like in the case of Mark Barron, it's literally that case. It's literally that. And you know, he told us on Sunday that there was still a chance, you know, on Sunday that maybe he wasn't going to be able to play, because he's got to wake up and see how the Achilles feels. And it does sound cliche, but in some cases, it's the literal truth.
any word on how Mark Barron felt after the game?
He seemed in good spirits. You know, he felt like, obviously there was a lot of rust. He felt like as the game went on, he was coming along a little bit better. He made some plays. Health-wise, he felt okay. Talk to him more about it this week and see how the body responded. But, I'm afraid that as the season goes on, that it is going to be a case of week to week, unless he just wakes up one day and it's gone and never to come back again this year. But I suspect that it's going to be one of those, we're going to have to deal with it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's good to see him back, and hopefully he can stay healthy, because, I think he ended up with 9 tackles. He was flying around. He was a little rusty, like you mentioned, but I think in the long term, he's going to be a valuable piece if we can keep him healthy. But Vinny Bonsignore, I appreciate it so much. Guys, go check him out at Vinny Bonsignore on Twitter. We'll be checking in on the rest of your reports throughout the week as we get injury updates and whatnot. And we're excited to talk to you again next week. So enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Have a good one and enjoy the game.